This week's parsha is Parshas Toldos, and the title of the shir tonight is The Blindness of Yitzchak. So tonight we're going to look at the aspect of the parsha, which talks about how Yitzchak lost his vision, and obviously as a result of Yitzchak's loss of vision, Yaakov was able to get the brachos from Yitzchak, but the Mefarshim give different reasons and different ideas as to why Yitzchak went blind. It's not such a simple area, but we'll look through the Mefarshim and see all the Midrashim, or at least many of the Midrashim, on the concept behind the blindness of Yitzchak. So if we look in source number one, it's the basic pasuk that we're going to base the shir around, and it says, "Vayhi ki zaken Yitzchak vatechena einav miraos, vayikra es esa b'no agadol, vayomer elav b'ni, vayomer elav hineni." So as Yitzchak got older, his eyes became very dim to the point where he couldn't see. And he calls Esav in order to give him the brachos, and Esav responds, "Here I am." So the introduction to the story of Esav and Yaakov getting the brachos, is that Yitzchak became blind. So the question is, what is the concept of Yitzchak's blindness? Is it just a natural concept, or is there a deeper concept, a deeper idea to explain the nature of his blindness? So if you look in source number two, the Radak gives us the most shot answer to this idea. And source number two, it says, "Vayhi ki zaken Yitzchak, poel avar." So it's a passive, it's in the passive tense. "Zaken ad shekehu enof miraos." So he was old until his eyes became, it became difficult for him to see. "Kemoshe karli Yaakov," the same thing happened to Yaakov, he had trouble seeing. "V'chein azakenim techena einehem v'techbadna aznehem le'esik nusam." And in general, old people start losing their eyesight and they start losing their hearing, and that's normal. So the Radak, his first shot is that it was just natural aging. Some people lose their eyesight or their vision, their hearing earlier than others. Lefi tivam, based on their nature, ulefi hinhagam, and based on their actions. So different people age at different stages, and different people lose their hearing and their eyesight at different ages. And Yitzchak, he lost his eyesight 20 years or more before his death. Yitzchak assumed that he was closing in on death when he lost his eyesight, but it wasn't the case. He still had 20 more years. That's why Yitzchak was ready to bless Esav and Yaakov. So the pshat of the Radak is that it was natural, that Yitzchak happened to have had poor eyesight, and as he aged, his eyesight got worse to the point of blindness. So now the Radak adds in some extra ideas. He says perhaps the reason why he went blind early is it was a type of yisurin for tzaddikim. Yisurin are problems, ailments that are given to tzaddikim from Hashem. And perhaps one possibility is that it's teaching us not that it was naturalness, not just that it was natural, but perhaps there's an idea here that Hashem bestows Yisurin on tzaddikim before their death, as he sees with his chachma, with his wisdom, that it'll benefit the tzaddik. So some say, there's another pshat, is that Esav had married these women who were involved in Avodah Zarah, and they used incense to serve their gods, and the smoke from the incense had made Yitzchak blind. So we're going to take up that approach. But the first approach, again, is the Radak says the pshat, that he was just old. And the second approach is that it was Yisurin, that it was ailments bestowed upon him from Hashem. And the third approach is that the idea is that the smoke of the Ketores, the incense of Esav's evil wives, was what caused his blindness. So we want to understand these answers in a deeper way. So we're going to go to the first drasha on the nature of his blindness. So if you look in the Torah Tzmima says, "Ki zaken Yitzchak, Amar of Chama b'Rav Chanina, Mimeim shel Avosenu lo paska yeshiva mehem, Yitzchak zaken v'yoshe b'yeshiva hava, Shneamar v'hi ki zaken Yitzchak." So Rav Chama, in the name of Rav Chanina, said that whenever all the avosin, the avos, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, they never stopped learning in yeshiva. And as it says, and Yitzchak Zakin, Yitzchak became old, and he learned in the yeshiva. He sat in the yeshiva. Shneamar vayiki Zakin Yitzchak. Of course, the question is, how do you learn out from our pasuk in Bereishis, from vayiki Zakin Yitzchak, that Yitzchak became old, that he was learning, that he was in yeshiva? So what is this? So what's the source for this? So let's look at the Gemara, and then we'll get a better understanding of the nature of this limud and also the blindness, another approach to the blindness of Yitzchak. So the Gemara is in source number 4, and it's Maseches Yoma Daf Chav Ches Amud Beis, and it says as follows: Avraham Avinu Zaken VeYoshe BeYeshiva Haya. So Avraham was old, and he was sitting in yeshiva. Shneamar, as it says, VeAvraham Zaken Ba BaYamim. So Avraham was old, and his days had come. Yitzchak Avinu Zaken BeYoshe BeYeshiva Haya. So too Yitzchak, when he was old, he was learning in the yeshiva. He was sitting and learning. Shneamar vayhi ki zaken Yitzchak. Yaakov avinu zaken v'yoshe b'yeshiva haya. Yaakov too, the same thing. When he got old, he just wanted to learn. He was involved in yeshiva and learning. Shneamar v'nei Yisrael kavdu mizoken. His eyes also, Yaakov's eyes also were affected by his age. And it says mizoken. Eliezer evet Avraham zaken v'yoshe b'yeshiva haya. And so too, Eliezer, the servant of Avraham, was old, and he was in yeshiva. Shneamar vayomer Avraham elavdo zekan beiso hamoshel b'chol asher lo. Avraham said to Eliezer, who was the elder of his household, Amar Rav Elazar shemoshel b'toras rabo. He was moshel. He was in charge of the Torah of his rebbe. So the question is, what's this limud? We learn out the Gemara is saying that all the avos and Eliezer, when it says that they were old, any time there's a reference to zaken, it means that they were learning, that they were involved in yeshiva. So what is the limud here? What exactly, and what's it teaching us about them? Of course, they're involved in yeshiva. What would we expect them to be involved in? So what is the limud? That's the question. And what does this have to do with Yitzchak's eyesight? So if you look in the Ritva, in source number 5 on this Gemara, he explains it, and he says Yitzchak Avinu Zaken VeYoshev Yeshiva Hava Dechsev Vayhiki Zaken Yitzchak Perish VeEin Zaken Ela Zeh Shekaneh Chachma. So whenever the Torah uses the term Zaken, Zaken could mean old age or it could mean wisdom, and Zaken in this matter means a person who's acquired wisdom, Chachma. VeIka LeMeidak. So that's the limud. The limud is that when it says Avraham Zaken Babayamim, it means Zikna is in Chachma, that he acquired wisdom in his old age. And same thing by Yitzchak, same thing by Yaakov, and by Eliezer. And how do you acquire wisdom? By learning and sitting in yeshiva and learning. So the Ritva goes on. He says, V'ikal medak v'ha b'seifek siv v'techena inav meros. But it says after, by Yitzchak, that his eyes became dim, like we saw in our pasuk. He's quoting our pasuk. V'yaakov nami d'chsiv kavdu mizokin. So too by Yaakov, his eyes were affected by this. Haksibbe lo yuchaliros. It says that he couldn't see. Alma zakena derov yamim mishtaikra. It must be that the Torah is not referring to zikna as an idea of wisdom, of acquiring wisdom, but rather it must be old age, because why would it mention that Yaakov and Yitzchak lost their eyesight? So the Ritva answers, v'yesh lomar dechas v'shalom. God forbid, demishum rov yamim kavdu einehem, because of the fact that they were old, that their eyesight was lost. Dehaksiv koye Hashem yachalifu koach. It says in Yeshaya that if you trust in Hashem, He'll renew your strength. So it can't be that that's why their eyesight was lost. El adaraba mirov regilosam biyeshiva vetoshia shemateshes kocho shel adam. From the fact that they were sitting in yeshiva and learning, it weakened them. Kavdu einehem v'lo yachlu liros. And because of that, their eyesight was lost and they couldn't see. Uvishvacham ba'akasu v'daber v'lo b'gnusam. The Gemara is not trying to criticize them, but it's trying to praise them. So the Ritva says that the loss of eyesight of Yitzchak and Yaakov was tied to them sitting and learning in yeshiva. But the question is, they didn't have... So what is this idea? What's the concept? And also, they didn't really have svarim, so I understand nowadays people read svarim, and their eyesight goes bad. But they didn't really have svarim back then. I mean, they didn't have Torah. They didn't have that. So what exactly is the Medrash trying to teach us, trying to relate to us? So I think that back in the time of Chazal, what were they studying when they were learning in yeshiva in the time of the Avos? They weren't studying Torah because they didn't have Torah, but they were studying nature. So you see by Adam HaRishon that Adam was studying the world, the animals, the creatures. Avraham looked at the stars, he studied the stars. So they're all involved in studying nature, and through the study of nature, they were able to grasp ideas about Hashem. So, but the main source of man's knowledge in the framework of nature is through the eyes. That when you see things, and then that allows you to perceive them on a deeper level. If you can't see, if you can't see a tree, if you can't see an animal, you can't really gain in that framework. Of course, with your ears and your hearing is important as well. But eyesight is really critical in terms of seeing the wisdom of Hashem in creation. So the Chiddush is saying that we see that they were involved in learning because their eyesight, which was their main means of perception, was affected. They lost their eyesight. So the loss of eyesight is like a reflection of what they were involved in, how they used their eyes, and they used their eyes primarily to perceive nature. And the fact that it says "Vayhi ki zaken Yitzchak vatechena eina meros," it's a reflection of their commitment to learning, to studying nature. Only because of that, only because they were constantly involved in looking at things and studying and analyzing things, was their eyesight lost. And we see the same thing. It is similar to a person who learns in yeshiva and reads a lot of Sfarim. So when you read for a long time, over many, many years, it affects your eyesight. Your eyesight is affected dramatically. So it's the same concept, that the loss of eyesight of Yitzchak was tied to what his priority was. And his priority was learning. And that's the loss of that faculty or that sense is really tied to the intensity that a person's involved in the learning process. And Yitzchak and Yaakov were intensely involved in learning, and their eyesight was affected, meaning the aspect of them that perceived nature, that was able to see and learn the wisdom of Hashem, was affected drastically. So that's the first drasha. The drasha is that it's teaching us, why is the Torah teaching us that he was blind? It's not simply telling us that he was old, but it's telling us what his priority was, that his priority was learning, and that is reflected in the loss of eyesight. So I think that's the second idea. Now there's all these other approaches, and we're going to look at a couple of them, and they just bring in different aspects about Yitzchak. So the next one was a doozy. It was troubling me, but I think we can explain it. So if you look in source number 6, the Medrash, it says an interesting Medrash. It says, "Vayhi ki zaken Yitzchak vatechena inav." If anybody has any questions, just stop me in the middle and ask, as usual. So Amar Rav Yossi Rav Simon, Avraham Avinu Tava Zikna. So Rav Yossi said in the name of Rav Simon that Avraham, he asked for old age. Amar Lefanav, he said to Hashem, Ribono Shel Olam, Av Uvein, if a father and a son go into a place, so he said, so Avram made an argument to Hashem. He said, I want you to make me look old. Why? Because if a father and son go into a place, they don't know which one's which and who's older, and they don't know who to respect. So therefore, zekena, old age, is good. Aging is a good thing. And Hashem says back to him, yes, Amar Lei Kadosh Baruch Hu, Chayecha, Davar Tov Tavata, Mimocha, Ani Maschil. You asked for a good thing, and I'm going to start with you. You're the first person that is old, that looks old. Dechsev, Avraham Zokin, Baba Yamim. So the first pshat in the Medrash is that Avraham requested to be old, to age. And that his request was based on the fact that people wouldn't know who to respect. Everyone looked young back then. So he was the first one, according to the Medrash. Yitzchak Avinu Tava Yisurin. Yitzchak asked for ailments. He asked Hashem, please, Bria, make me physically disabled. Amar Lefana, Ribono Shel Olam, Adam Meis Belo Yisurin, Midas Adin Mesucha Kenegdo. If a person dies without any ailments, so the Midas Adin, the aspect, the strict judgment of God, Hashem is against him, is lined up against him. Mitoch sha'ata mevi alav yisurin, mismarkin avonosav. By bringing yisurin, ailments, you're gonna clean off the avonos, the sins. So the Amar Leah Kadosh Baruch Hu, Haya Ata Tchila, you'll be the first one that experiences Yisurin, these ailments. So the blindness of Yitzchak is tied to his request to be punished or to have some physical ailments in order to wipe out his Yisurin, his sins. Yaakov, the last one, Yaakov, Tavacholi, he asked for sickness. Before Yaakov, there was no sickness, death from sickness. Amar Lefanov, he said, Ribono shel Olam, Adam Meis below Choli, Ve'eno Mechashe Vesbanov. If a person dies without getting sick, he's not going to think about his kids or know, you know, when to talk to his kids and when to give them lessons, you know, the life lessons. Mitok Shehu Chole, Shnayim U'Shlosh Yomim. But if he's sick for 2 or 3 days, Miyashe B'daito U'Mechashe Vesbanov. He'll be more satisfied in his mind, and he'll think about his kids, and he'll be able to deal with his affairs. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Haya Ata Tchila, you'll be the first one to get sick. Hu Adin, Vayomer li Yosef, Hine Avicha Chole. And it says, he said to Yosef, it was said to Yosef, your father is sick. So the Medrash brings down 3 examples of how the aging process was affected by the Avos. The Medrash says that Avraham requested old age, because old age didn't exist. Apparently, before Avraham, the Medrash is saying everyone looked the same. So even if you were, you know, 100 years old, you looked like you were 20, and you acted like you were 20. So there was no sign or indication of aging. And Yitzchak, he asked for ailments, for Yisurin, because he understood that Yisurin could help in the tshuva process and could help in terms of kapara. So Hashem said, okay, great. And Yaakov asked for sickness. And the idea of sickness is to give a person the ability to get his affairs in order, to talk to his children, to give them brachos, like Yaakov did at the end of his life. So what is the point of this medrash? I mean, is it really literal that nobody aged before Avraham? I find it hard to believe that nobody got sick before Yaakov. So what exactly, I mean, it's possible that the medrash is literal, but it doesn't seem likely based on how we know physiologically how people live nowadays. It seems like it's part of the nature of man to age. So what is the medrash trying to teach us if it's not supposed to be a literal medrash? What can we learn from here? So I think the medrash is teaching us, and this is another idea in the blindness of Yitzchak, the concept of death in the framework of the Avos. And so I think the idea is that nobody who's old nowadays, it seems like, very few people who are old would request to be older. Most people want to be younger. If you speak to old people, I speak to old people all day, they usually like remember, they're not unhappy being old, but if they, given the choice, they would rather be young because they always complain about their ailments and all the issues that they have. So most people wouldn't want to be old. They would choose to stay young for the rest of their lives. Most people would say that. And most people wouldn't want to get an ailment. They wouldn't want to have arthritis or blindness. And most people also wouldn't want to be sick. These are weird types of requests. So what is the nature of these requests? So it seems like the desire for a person to not get sick, to not be punished or get ailments, and to not age is tied to the fear or the idea of immortality, the concept of immortality, which is that a person believes deep down inside in his psyche that he's going to live forever. Most people believe that. And when you age, it brings about the reality of death to the front of your mind. And it becomes harder to follow that fantasy of immortality. But when you're young and when you feel good, you feel you're less scared. You're less fearful of death. And the reason why you're less fearful of death is because you have this fantasy that you're going to live forever. And that's just the nature of people in general. So I think that the Chiddush of this Medrash is teaching us that the Avos were able to overcome this fantasy and to acknowledge or accept death in an objective way. Most people, when they think of death, there's fear of death. There's this desire to live forever. But the Avos didn't have that. They didn't have any fear of death. They didn't have any desire for immortality in this world. There was no drive like that. They were able to overcome this fantasy, this fear, and see death for what it was. And once you can see death as a reality, and you can judge it in an objective way, then you can decide the best way to die. You can decide in this world how it would be best to die. And Avram was saying, listen, without the fear of death and without the idea of immortality, Zakena is a really good thing for the world, because the idea is that Zakena is, if you want the Masorah to continue, if you want the traditions to continue, there has to be this division between a father and a son. It has to be clear, you know, who the leader is and who the elder is, and it's good for the world. So without the fear of death, you can make these judgments about, you know, what's better for the world. Yitzchak too. I mean, most people would not request ailments. They don't want to lose their eyesight, their hearing. But part of that is because of the fact that there's this fear of death and there's this desire for immortality. But Yitzchak recognized the philosophical good. So it wasn't tied to him and his own body, but he recognized the philosophical good. And the reason why he was able to do that was because he overcame the fantasy of immortality. And lastly, Yaakov, the same thing. People wouldn't ask to be sick. But sickness is objectively a good thing if you accept death. If you accept the reality of death, then these things are good. If you can't accept the reality of death, if you're fearful of it, and you think in your psyche that you're going to live forever, which is pretty common in the average person, even though we don't want to acknowledge it, but we do feel that way, especially when you're younger, you're willing to take risks that you aren't willing to take when you're older. But the reason is because you don't fear as much. You have a greater fantasy of immortality. And as you get older, the fantasy dies a little bit, but it still exists. But these people were able to overcome them. They didn't view death from that framework. They viewed death in an objective framework because they were able to accept it as a reality. So once you accept it, now you have to make decisions as to what the best way to go is and what's best for the world. So that was I think that's the chiddush of the Medrash. It's not saying that there was no old people before Avram. It's saying that Avram was able to accept the aging process, unlike other people who can't accept it. It's difficult to accept because of the fear of death. But Avram was able to accept it. Yitzchak was able to accept the reality of ailments, and it didn't bother him because of the fact that he was able to accept death. And Yaakov was able to accept sickness because the reality of death wasn't one of fear for him. It was just an objective reality, truth that was going to happen. So I think that's the Chiddush of the Medrash. The Chiddush of the Medrash isn't teaching us that they introduced these concepts. It's teaching us that they were the first ones to embrace these concepts, these ideas, because they didn't have this irrational fantasy and they didn't have a fear of death. So I think that's the Chiddush. So again, what does that do with Yitzchak? So that's the idea of Yitzchak, that the idea of the eyes being dim is a reflection of this concept, that Yitzchak was able to accept the reality of death in his old age, and that's the concept in the Torah. Okay, so the third idea, anybody have any questions? All right, the third idea is the famous concept in Rashi, and the Radak mentioned it. The Radak says, if you look above in source number 2, the last line, it says, V'yesh drash, ki me'ashan ketores shel avodah zarah, shehayu neshei esav, miketores maharu einav lachos. So it was because of the Esav's wives' ketores, their incense, that's why Yitzchak's eyes had dimmed and he lost his eyesight. So what is this? What is this talking about? If you look in, if you don't believe me, look in Rashi later on, in source number 11, it says, "Be'ashnan shel elu." See, in source number 11, "Vatzechena be'ashnan shel elu." So many Rishonim hold that it's based on the Medrash that this is the reason why Yitzchak's eyes got blind, because the Esav's terrible wives were doing avodah zarah and it affected them. So look in. Let's try to understand that a little deeper. So what exactly is the concept of his blindness in this framework? So if you look in source number 7, just prior to this piece, it says, "Vayhi Esav ben arba'im shana v'yikach isha es yehudis bas be'eri achiti v'es bas mas bas elon achiti." So Esav, at 40 years old, was trying to look like he was a tzaddik, and he's getting married, and he decides to marry these women. He marries Yehudis, two women, and bas mas. And in Lamed Hey, it says, "Vatiena moras ruach leitzchak ulirivka." It was a source of bitterness for Yitzchak and Rivka. So the pshat is that the word moras means bitter, that Yitzchak and Rivka were very bitter about Aesop's choices of wives. But if you look in source number 8, Rashi says, Muras ruach, lashon hamra'as ruach. It means rebelliousness. Kemo mamrim heyisem. When Moshe rebukes the Jewish people, he says, you are a rebellious people. Kol ma'asehen hayuli itzavon. All of your actions are to cause sadness and depression. So your goal is to, the idea is that their goal was to annoy Yitzchak and Rivka. And Rashi says, liyitzchak l'rivka shehayu ovdos avodazara. And the reason why it annoyed them so much, and the source of rebellion, or the way that they rebelled, was by doing avodah zarah, and it caused a great amount of pain to Yitzchak and Rivka. So the Sifsei Chachamim here points out a very interesting point, which I think is really important to understand why Yitzchak was affected, or what the blindness has to do with anything. So if you look in the Sifsei Chachamim number 10, number 9 is more of a grammatical idea, but it's to tell you that the word is mamrim. It means rebelliousness, not merirus, not bitterness. So in 10, he says, v'nira li derashi dayak midechsev Yitzchak kodem Rivka. So Rashi is medayek, he's exact, in the fact that the Torah, it says, v'tiena moras ruach liyitzchak ulrivka. It says that Yitzchak and Rivka were affected, but it puts Yitzchak first. So why does it put Yitzchak before Rivka? So you could say, just pshat. But what's the idea? The Sifsei Chacham says, Lomar, to Yitzchak haya hatsar yoser gadol. To Yitzchak, this was greater, and it was more painful. Lefi shaloya rogyo kol yama ba'avodos elilim. He was never exposed to idolatry. His father was Avraham. Aval Rivka haisa regila be'avia uva'acheha shayu ovde elilim. But Rivka was exposed to avodah zara because her parents and her brother were ovde avodah zara, so it wasn't as traumatic for her. So again, Rashi says that Yitzchak was, according to the Sifsei Chachamim, Yitzchak was affected by more so than Rivka. And again, we saw in Rashi, in source number 11, that the source of his blindness was a byproduct of the Avodah Zarah of these wives. And what was the Avodah Zarah? It was Ketores, it was the incense, then the Ashan, the smoke affected him, and it caused his blindness. So what is the concept? Is there a concept here? Or is it just natural? It's just saying, don't put your face in smoke, and if you do that, then your eyes will get damaged. So what exactly is the point? So I think that there's another idea to the blindness of Yitzchak, and it's tied to this concept that the Sifsei Chachamim brings down, which is that the Sifsei Chachamim, again, mentions that Yitzchak was affected more by the wives of Esav than Rivka, because he wasn't used to it. And oftentimes, when we can't tolerate something, we close our eyes because we can't see it. It's too hard to see. Like if you ever see videos, I was watching this World War II documentary. And when you see videos of the Holocaust, it's just hard to look at. It's hard to see. You want to close your eyes. So when you can't tolerate something, the idea is that you don't want to see it. It's just too hard to see. And the idea of the blindness of Yitzchak was a reflection not of the fact that the smoke per se damaged his eyes, but it's reflection of the fact that Yitzchak couldn't tolerate it. It was just too much for him to even see Avodah Zarah in his midst. And that's the idea of his blindness. The idea of his blindness isn't just factual because of the smoke, but it's the concept that he couldn't tolerate it. He had to remove himself and he couldn't see it. By seeing it, it was so intolerable to him, he was so affected by it that he couldn't take it. So his blindness was a means of isolating him from what he was seeing, which was so harmful. Whereas Rivka, not that she was okay with it, but she could tolerate it. She wasn't as affected by it, and therefore she could see it and still exist and still live on. But Yitzchak, he couldn't see it anymore. It was too damaging for him. Because he couldn't accept it as true. He knew that it was false. So for him, his blindness was a way of protecting him from the Avodah Zarah of Esau's wives. And then, I know we're going through a lot of sources, but I'll put everything together at the end, like I always do. And then there's one more source, and this is the hardest one for his blindness. I think it's the hardest one. So Rashi, in source number 11, he says, Davar Acher, this is a famous, Kishinekad, Al gabe hamizbeach v'haya aviv rotze l'shachto, When Yitzchak was on the Mizbeach by Akedas Yitzchak, and he was about to be slaughtered, but Osa Shah Niftichu Hashemayim Vera'u Malachi Asharis, at that moment, the doors of heaven were opened, and Yitzchak looked up, and he saw the Malachim, the angels, Vayu Bochim, and they were crying, V'yardu Dimosam, and the tears, Naflu Al Einav, fell into the eyes of Yitzchak. Lefichach Kahu Einav, therefore, his eyes got dim. So that's the hardest one. So the Medrash over here says that why were his eyes affected? Why did he go blind? Because when he was on the altar, the Mizbeach, about to be shechted, at that moment he looked up and he saw Malachim crying. So the problem with this there's a lot of problems. But one problem is we know that Malachim don't cry. I mean, they're not physical. At least that's how we think of Malachim. Many think of Malachim. They're not really physical, and they don't have emotions like humans. They're just existences. They're not human. So what is the crying? What is the crying trying to teach us? They don't cry, Malachim. So what does that mean? And also, why should the drops falling into his eyes affect his eyesight? You know, what exactly is the meaning? So that's a question. So if you go back to the actual story of the Akedah, there's a medrash that points out that they were crying, and it makes it even harder. So if you look in source number 12, Breishis Chaf Beis, it says, Vayakod es Yitzchak beno, vayasem oso mizbeach mimalei etzim. So Avraham had bound up Yitzchak, and he placed them on the mizbeach, on top of the wood. Vayishlach Avraham es yado, vayikach es hamacheles lishchod es beno. And Avraham grabbed the knife, and he was about to slaughter Yitzchak. So what happened? Look in the Medrash, source number 13. Vayishlach Avraham es yado, vayikach es hamacheles lishchod es beno. Uvachu malachi asharis lefanav. And the malachim were crying before him, Shneamar, as it says, Hein erolom tsaku chutza malachi shalom mar yevkiyun. It says that the erolim, which are a type of malach, were shouting out outside, and the messengers of shalom were crying bitterly, were weeping bitterly. And this pasuk is a pasuk in Yeshayahu, and it's referring to the Churban of the Mikdash. That when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the pshat of the pasuk is that the angels, the malachim, were crying because they were so upset at the destruction of the Mikdash. So again, this is really hard to understand because as Yitzchak is about to get killed, why are they crying bitterly? What are they crying about? What exactly is the idea of them crying in general? And how did it affect Yitzchak? So we have to understand that. And one other point, and then I think we can answer all the questions, although it's really hard point to answer completely, and if anybody has any assistance, I'd welcome it. But if you look in source number 14, at the very beginning of the test to Avraham, it says, Vayhi achar advarim o'ela, v'halokim nisas Avraham, v'yomer elav Avraham, v'yomer hineni. So Hashem says, after many years, Hashem tested Avraham, and he says to him, Avraham, and Avraham says, here I am. So the Medrash over there says, look in 15, Acharei ba'u me'eretz plishtim lechevron, after Avraham left Plishtim and went to Chevron, v'asa bechevron shtemasra shana, he was in Chevron for 12 years, v'sof yud be'ishana, v'alokim nisas Avraham. At the end of the 12th year, Hashem decided to test Avraham. Acharei, why does it say Acharei? Hirhurei divrei malachi asharis. The malachim were trying to rile Hashem up. Valokim, hu vestino nisas Avraham, and Hashem and his beistin decided to test Avraham. What were they saying? Amru malachi asharis of Ne'akadosh Baruch Hu. They were saying to Hashem, the malachim, Ribono shel Olam, Avraham ze sameach v'simach lakol. Avraham was very happy, and he made everybody else happy. V'lo hifrish l'cha, lo par, v'lo gozal echad. But this is talking about after Yitzchak was born. Avram was very happy, he made a party, but he didn't separate a par, a bull, or a bird to give as a korban. So they were questioning Avram to Hashem. Amar lana kadosh baruch hu, im omer lo shiakrev es beno, eno ma'akev. So Hashem said to the malachim, even if I told Avram to sacrifice his son, he wouldn't hold back. L'chach siv Elokim shehiskim l'divrei beis dino. That's why it says Elokim and not Hashem. Elokim means that he and his beis din. It wasn't just his decision, it was the Malachim as well. The Malachim helped him make the decision. So this cannot be literal because, you know, Hashem isn't, he doesn't go through this process of debate. But it's obviously teaching us something. So what are the Malachim even doing in the story? Why do the Malachim start the story by claiming that Avram's not good enough and that he didn't separate Par and a Gozal? And then in the end of the story, it says in two places, but one in the Medrash, one in Arashi, that the Malachim are crying. And as Avram was about to slaughter Yitzchak, they were crying bitterly. So what do the Malachim have to do with this story? What's the purpose of the Malachim? What are they arguing? What are they doing here? So that's the question. So anybody have any possibilities about what's going on here? So I'll try a possibility. I don't know if it explains everything, but I'll give it a shot. Okay, so in general, Malachim, what are they? You know, how do we understand them? So they don't have emotions. They're just pure messengers of Hashem. They act in accordance with Hashem's will, and they fulfill the will of Hashem in this world. So they're basically messengers of Hashem. So why are they arguing? What are they arguing? What's the nature of this argument? So the nature of the argument isn't a back and forth between the Malachim and Hashem, but the concept is that the Malachim maintained that all human beings are self-serving to a point. Meaning, even though Avraham loves Hashem, he's Oev Hashem, and he's a servant of Hashem, but ultimately the Malachim are saying in this Medrash that man is limited because he cannot act in a non-self-serving manner. And the point of the story was that after Yitzchak was born, Avram was happy and he was making everybody else happy. The implication is that Avram was just serving Hashem for his own benefit, in order to get a child, and that's what the implication is. But I think there's a much deeper implication, which is that man cannot serve Hashem in a selfless manner. There's always a self-serving element of man, whereas a malach has no sense of self. The malach is purely selfless, meaning anytime Hashem commands the malach to do anything, he has no choice, he does it. He does everything for the sake of Hashem. There's no selfishness, there's no idea of selfishness, it's pure selflessness on the part of the malach. But by man, the argument is, it's not possible for a man to be selfless. There's always a self-serving element of his servitude to Hashem. Either you want something from Hashem, you want a bigger house, you want children, you want a wife, all those things are self-serving. It's not possible, that's their argument. It's not possible for man to serve in a non-self-serving manner. And I think that's the allegory of the Medrash. That's why it's using Malachim, because Malachim are the opposite in the sense that there is no selfishness, it's all selfless. But in the end, as Yitzchak is about to be slaughtered, he sees that they're crying. So why were they crying bitterly? So the idea of crying is typically an idea of identification. Malachim don't cry, but when you cry over somebody else dies, you cry. So there has to be a connection and identification with the person that makes you cry. You don't just cry if you don't know the person, if you have nothing to do with the person. What makes you cry is that you feel like he's like you, and you feel connected to the person. So the idea is that Yitzchak, at that moment where he was willing to die for Hashem, which was the ultimate self-sacrifice, the most selfless act, just like Avraham expressed, Yitzchak saw the Malachim crying. What it means is that Yitzchak recognized that what he had done and what Avraham had done was on the level of the Malachim, as if the Malachim were identifying with his loss, with his destruction. They were crying for him, meaning he's one of them, he's like them. So Yitzchak was given an opportunity at a moment of selflessness, of pure selflessness, to see the level that he had attained. He and Avraham, but specifically him, had attained at that moment, and that level was the level of the Malach in the sense of selfless worship. Just like the Malach has no selfishness and he worships in a purely selfish, selfless manner, Yitzchak was capable of achieving that level. So the idea of his blindness is a reflection of the perfection of Yitzchak. That the blindness, and I think that there's an idea to the blindness itself. Why was he blind? The idea of the blindness is that a person who's that a person who's connected to this world and cherishes this world, so blindness is a terrible thing. But to Yitzchak, the idea of blindness was an idea of allowing him to be in his thoughts more and allowing him to be more abstract, because he had achieved this potential, this ability to almost separate himself from the needs, from his own needs, from the physical needs that he had, and act in a selfless manner. So the idea of the blindness of Yitzchak is tied to the level of perfection that he had attained, and in his old age, his blindness was tied to that idea. His blindness was now another means of attaining even higher levels in that framework. So the blindness sometimes can assist a person, and in the case of Yitzchak, it was an idea of assisting him to achieve an even higher level of abstractness from this world, and a higher level of separateness from this world. Just like Moshe, we say Moshe died with Hanshika. Why? Because his soul wasn't really attached to the needs of this world. His soul was attached to Hashem. So too, Yitzchak, his soul wasn't attached to the needs of the world. He really put his needs were really not his essence. They weren't really value. His basic need was to serve Hashem, only for Hashem's sake, not for his own sake. And that's a reflection, that's reflected in the blindness that was bestowed upon him at the end of his life. It's tied to that achievement or that level of perfection that he achieved at the Akedas Yitzchak. And the last idea, one last idea, we have a couple minutes, 3 minutes. So the last idea is in source number 16. Another medrash says, Vayihi ki zaken Yitzchak vatechena inav meros, malamed shakas misalekis ha-ma'or. It teaches us that anger takes away our sight and our ability to see light. Dechsev vatiena moros ruach liyitzchak l'rifka, ha-ikar liyitzchak. So mainly the moros ruach, the medrash is learning, is his anger, that Yitzchak was tremendously angry. Right after he's angry, it says that he lost his sight. And if you look in last point, look in Shemos, Moshe says, so Moshe was talking to the Jews about Yetzias Mitzrayim. They wouldn't listen to him because they were worked too hard. And look at the last line in source number 18. It says, anger removes your ability to think. So what's that idea, the last point? So the concept of eyesight is clarity. When a person can see, they can have clarity. When a person's angry, it affects your ability to see things clearly, to really understand things in a clear manner. And that's what it means when Yitzchak's eyesight was taken away because of his anger, meaning that anger affects your ability to see clearly, to see things clearly. It's not an idea in your eyesight, it's an idea of das. Your mind is affected by your anger, but eyesight is really just a reflection of that concept, which is you need your eyes to see things, to understand things, to perceive, and kas, it clouds your mind, it clouds your eyes, it clouds your ability to see things. You can no longer see it in a clear fashion. Okay, so that's the end. Let me just, before I sign off here, let me just go through the shitos, the different ideas. So the question we started with was, you know, why was Yitzchak blind? What's the Torah teaching us? And there's many different ideas. So we started with the most pshat, which is the Radak, and he says that Yitzchak's blindness was tied to natural aging process. That as you get old, your hearing is lost and your eyesight's lost, and he just got it earlier than most. And then we went on and we saw this medrash. The medrash said that really what it means that Yitzchak got old is not zakena in terms of old age, but it's talking about chachma. And we said that his eyesight loss was, and Yaakov's as well, was tied to a reflection of his dedication to learning. And the way they used to learn was through studying nature, and that was through the sense of sight. So the wearing down of the sense of sight is almost like a reflection or a byproduct of a certain intensity of learning. And we see that nowadays. Bizman Hazeh, if you read a lot, it affects your eyesight. If you're learning a lot, it affects your eyesight. So too, by the Avos, it shows us how involved they were, how intense their learning process was. Then we saw this other idea that the Avos asked for old age, they asked for sickness, they asked for ailments, and we said that it shouldn't be read literally because these things seem to exist before, but it's teaching us that the Avos, they didn't have any fear of Misa. They had no fear of death, and most people do. But they were comfortable with death. They accepted it as a reality, and they just wanted to prepare properly for it. So we see that Yitzchak, that his eyesight being lost was an idea of his preparation for the accept and his preparation for Misa, and it shows that the Avos were able to accept their death in the fullest manner without any fear, without any fantasy of immortality. Then we went on to the Avodah Zarah problem. Why was the smoke affecting his eyes? It's not an idea of factually affecting his eyes, but it's an idea of closing him off from something that he was intolerant to, that he couldn't accept as true. And when we see something that we're horrified by, so we have to close our eyes. Yitzchak was horrified by the Avodah Zarah of Esav's wives, and that's why he was blind. The blindness was bestowed upon him. Then the almost last idea was the idea of the Malachim, and we said that the idea of the Malachim is that Yitzchak recognized the level he had achieved in the framework of selfless worship of Hashem, and that's why they cried. The crying is not real, but it's an idea that they are that he's with them, that he, that they're almost identifying with each other. So in that sense, that knowledge or that reality affected Yitzchak, and he was able in the end of his life to continue on that pursuit. And then lastly, we saw the idea of kas, that kas takes away your sight. What it means is that it takes away your ability to see things in a clear manner. When you're angry, you can't really analyze things properly. And that's what it's teaching us, that Yitzchak was angry, and the result of his anger was that he lost his sight, meaning he lost the ability to perceive things in the clearest manner. So those are all the shitas. Anybody have any questions at all?